Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
That is a great call from Joe Buck.
What a night. What an unbelievable night. That was the first Super Bowl I watched sober, ever.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice. And brought you in.
Oh, my God. At halftime, I kicked out the neighbors, said, see you later. I'm watching this puppy.
By the way, George Thurgood at Hampton Beach tonight, by the way.
I'm going to be there. Of all of the insane moments, like, the amount, rewatching it, it's so amazing the amount of things that had to go perfectly right while simultaneously going perfectly wrong. How each side carried such immense power to create what was the most unlikely, biggest singular upset, comeback win in sports history. You can debate the Red Sox-Yankees having to come back in multiple games, but in game, nothing will ever compare. Maybe the Bills-Oilers game back in the day, but given the stakes, just unbelievable. So crazy how the Patriots did an onside kick at 28-12, and they can't. The Falcons just got out of field goal range. Like, it's just the amount of decisions they made that were so idiotic. And you had Shanahan on that staff. Matt Ryan played a near perfect game, and they just fumbled the bag.
Did they indeed? Now, were you surprised Edelman stayed here his whole career? I know at that time,
yeah.
Brady was, campaigning to get him there with Gronk.
What do you think Edelman thinks of the fact that Bill paid his son $3 million a year and he had to go beg for market value?
Well, he stayed here despite any potential slights. Like, he was a Patriot through and through. Very impressive to me that he chose that route.
Yeah, he was, spectacular career with the Patriots.
Yeah,
obvious, no doubt, Hall of Famer. A guy
that round pick.
Came in, got Wally Pipp.
Not Pro Football Hall of Famer, but obvious Patriots Hall of Famer.
Well, the difficult thing with the Pro Football Hall of Fame is not in the steroid era like baseball. It's you can point to Lynn Swann.
And Stallworth.
Like how you could point to Rizzuto in baseball and say, well, then this guy's in. But
right.
To me, Julian Edelman is a great clutch all-time Patriot. It's so amazing. Drew Bledsoe is so cast away that now he's not even the most famous 11. But I do not believe he'll be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Here's Edelman a little bit from yesterday, meeting with the media, talking about why he stayed.
Have played your entire career in one city. Like, did you ever feel tempted to go to Tampa, play elsewhere? And like, when you reflect on it, just what does that mean to you?
I mean, I think it's amazing to get to play my career just in New England. Were there times where I thought I was going to leave? Yeah. But that's business. That's the business part of this sport. Your feelings get hurt when you're a young guy and they bring someone in and they don't give you the contract you want. Like, there's so many emotions that get built up with that whole process that did I think I was going to play somewhere else? Yeah.
I think he goes on to say, but I didn't want to. He credited Kevin Falk, Teddy Bruschi, Devin McCourty, and Matthew Slater for helping set an example for perseverance to stay here. But he's not around that much these days. I'm surprised now that he's back today, obviously. I'm sure he comes back every now and then. You think like he'll be a Donnie Wahlberg fixture in future years at games?
I love Donnie Wahlberg, but I mean, Julian Edelman is a little bit,
I'm surprised he's not around.
Well, I think his daughter's in California.
Yeah, yeah.
And so,
California native.
He's from there originally. I mean, if I had the option, I'd probably sit outside by the beach.
Be close to where the beach is. And Parcells today, obviously, that's going to be quite the scene down there this afternoon. So I'm sure a lot of you are heading there. Kevin and Quincy, maybe one of them, maybe not, based on this subject line. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Curtis is spot on one thing before we get to Parcells. people are just jealous of Tom Brady. And, I mean, this has been going on for a long time. But when I see guys like Rodney Harrison, you know, moaning about him being up in the box with a headset on, who cares? I mean, literally, who cares? But regardless, Bill Parcells should not be in the Patriots Hall of Fame. He's 36-36 in regular season. He made it to the playoffs twice. He won two playoff games. Those are similar stats to Pete Carroll. I mean, you're going to put him in? I don't get it. Am I missing something here?
Yeah, what you're missing, Kevin, thank you for the call, is the roster that he put together. I mean, just as it was forming, Bob Kraft and Bill Parcells had a falling out, and it's Bob Kraft's team, so Parcells left. They got a haul for him with the Jets that they did almost nothing with those picks. But Bill Parcells brought in, did he draft Curtis Martin? He did. Third, I mean, there was one draft. I think it was Ty Law first, Ted Johnson second, and Curtis Martin in the third round, which is unbelievable. The guy set the foundation of this organization. I mean, you can't. And as someone that I was in like third grade, whenever he came in.
Troy Brown in the eighth round, right?
Right. Was that that same draft?
That was 93.
96 was, 96 was Ty Law, or 95, sorry. 95 was the Ty Law draft.
Right.
Because 96 they went to the Super Bowl.
95, Ty Law, Ted Johnson.
Was that?
Curtis Martin.
Ty Law, Ted Johnson, Curtis Martin.
Right.
First three picks. Not exactly Sony Michel, Isaiah Wynn.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why he's in the Patriots Hall of Fame. And he legitimized the organization in ways I can't properly or adequately describe. Like,
always say that. I wasn't here at the time, but he made it cool to be a Pats fan again. People came.
More people I knew growing up were, you know, my dad, we were BC fans. That's how I got into sports. But if you're an NFL fan, the vast majority were Giants fans because the Pats games were all blacked out.
Do you think Patriots fans that may have left at some point in the last 5 years are, based on last week's win, coming back or thinking about coming back? Now that you got Vrabel, now that you got May, now that you've seen a win, do you need more evidence, or are you considering it? Like, hey, all right, I'm starting to feel it again.
I think it'll be if tomorrow is going to be a perfect day in Foxborough. It's going to be just about, you know, 65
degrees.
Yeah, we can
open up the window world of weather,
right?
Forecast.
And people are. People want to be back in. I mean, I go back to that overtime loss to the Cowboys where Mac Jones had that bomb to Kendrick Bourne, and, you know, you're thinking, wow, we're back. What a moment. I don't think fans are ready to say, quote, we're back. I think fans need to see consistency from Drake May.
But not to throw you under the bus. A lot of people, last year, Bengals win, that's all it took.
Right. They looked a different team.
Yep.
But, you know, I was
one
wrong.
One win is probably not enough, but you stack a few more, get a little three-game winning streak, get going into that Buffalo game. Boom.
Yeah, if the Patriots win tomorrow, they are 3-1 entering the Bills game, which is, the Bills, by the way, their schedule, they're going to win 15 games this year.
Yep.
But, by the way, what is going on with people on ESPN? Was it Greeny? Josh Allen's the best quarterback of all time? Like, what are we doing? Are ratings bad for them? What are they doing? How can you take anything they say seriously? Patrick Mahomes has won 3 Super Bowls. He's owned Josh Allen in the playoffs.
He said, quote, no one has ever played quarterback better than Josh Allen.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Of course quarterbacks have...
be more context to that somewhere.
But what does that even mean?
I don't know.
They just beat the Dolphins, who suck. I think Drake May had better numbers against the Dolphins than Josh Allen did.
All right, now what if the Patriots stumble tomorrow, which they could do? I feel a Pats win, actually, coming off that. I don't think Pittsburgh's in a great place right now. I think you win tomorrow at home.
Really?
Money line, take it. Pats win.
Vrabel 0-3 against Tomlin.
Yeah, I heard that. But Pittsburgh here is just comically bad, other than the Matt Castle year. So, but let's say they do lose. Steelers come in. Aaron Rodgers torches them. Gonzalez plays only a couple snaps, whatever.
I don't think he plays.
Okay, so let's say that happens. What's at stake then if they lose?
They'll be 2-2 going to the Bills.
So not a big deal. Like, not a huge swing. You could lose and recover.
So I don't know. Like, so last weekend, I was out and about and saw the end of the game outside of Rosa Lyons in Southie. And there was a good amount of people watching excited. Nowhere near what it was in the heyday. But
no, of course.
I think that people want to invest in this team. But their issues at home have been a real problem. Like, you look at week one, debacle against the Raiders. Just an awful game. Just lifeless, dull, dead. There will be a lot of Steelers fans because they travel. So I think the stadium will be a little bit more rowdy tomorrow at Gillette. But I have no idea what, I said that earlier. They could win 35-14. They could lose 42-10, for all I know.
If, though, like Rodgers, we played the clip Aaron Rodgers earlier. He mentioned 2-97. So Harold Landry and Milton Williams, your two big free agent acquisitions who showed up big last week.
Yeah.
I can just picture that tomorrow. A couple of big sacks from those guys. Rodgers gets pancaked. Crowd going crazy. Like, that is, those kind of moments could, just because people hate Rodgers, bring up the anticipation, bring it up a notch.
A stat I stumbled upon this week. So the last time the Patriots won consecutive games was 2022. 3 years.
Right. Well, there you go.
There was a period when Bill and Tom went years without winning back-to-back games.
Are you surprised Vrabel was so humble and didn't want to
say winning without losing back-to-back games?
Vrabel did not want to answer your question about first win. He was kept deflecting it about the players. Like,
right. I think Mike Vrabel is very keen and understanding of how much the players of today don't want to be the afterthought behind the coach. And that when Robert Kraft entered that Miami Dolphins locker room, as Vrabel was beginning to give his post-game speech, made it all about Vrabel. I mean, Vrabel was just disgusted. Like, his face was like, go away. Like, it's not about me. It's about these guys.
Well, he's been preaching that from the start, right? It's about the players. That's one of his first messages.
It's a very unique position he finds himself in. I mean, how many coaches, I was trying to find this week, how many coaches won games for the team they played for in their career?
Right.
Was Ditka on the Bears?
Yeah.
So Ditka, maybe the only one that won a championship. I mean, there's not a lot. I mean, Pete Carroll didn't, Tony Dungy didn't play for the Colts.
Dungy did play DB, did he play for the Colts or just in?
I don't think he played for the Colts. Maybe, but anyway, Colts. It's rarefied air is what I said to him, and it's true, is that to enter here, and right now he's the biggest star on the team.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's what's at stake for the Pats. It's more of a great upside if you win, not a huge downside if you lose, still part of the process. Red Sox, some have called it biggest game in decades tonight with Kyle Harrison.
Love it.
Get back into the state of the Sox after Tom Trenz.
The Christian Arcan Show. Weeknights starting at 6. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
The Red Sox bats came alive in the 8th for a 7-run inning that propelled the Red Sox to an 11-7 victory over the Rays last night. Crochet went 6 full, allowing 3 earned runs while striking out 9 batters. Here's what Alex Cora had to say about Garrett Crochet after the game.
He's the ace, right? There's a reason we traded him. We were in Dallas and we pulled the trigger, and then there's a reason we gave him all that money. You know, the guy, he works hard, he cares. He wanted to keep going. I'm like, nah, this is good, you know. But he wants to win.
With the Sox winning, the Astros losing last night, the Sox are now tied for the second wild card spot with the Astros. The Sox also keep the 1.5-game lead over the Cleveland Guardians for an AL wild card spot. Cleveland won last night to keep the pressure on the Sox. Cleveland is 9-1 in their last 10 games. The Sox are back in action today for what some are calling the most important game in decades. It's another must-win against Tampa. Coverage starts on WEEI at 6:05 with the Mass Mutual pregame show with our guy Joe Weil. And as always, you can listen to the game right here on WEEI, the Shaw's and Star Market Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, go shopping, get rewarded. Kyle Harrison is on the mound for your Boston Red Sox. First pitch at 7:05. The Patriots are set for their Week 3 matchup tomorrow against Aaron Rodgers and the Pittsburgh Steelers. But today, both Julian Edelman and Bill Parcells will be putting on their red jackets and getting inducted into the Patriots Hall of Fame at 4 o'clock this afternoon. I'm Tom Crisafulli, and that's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Fleming and Middlebrooks last night across the Shaws and Star Market, WEI Red Sox Radio Network. The Duran Dinger, 385 feet, lefty on lefty, Curtis. That is a huge, huge swing. 11-7 win last night. The Guardians win again, 8 straight. They were 15.5 out on July 19th in the division. August 26th, Cleveland was 12.5 out. Today they are 2.5 back of Detroit with a series head-to-head this week. Will the Guardians ever lose?
I doubt it. I mean, they're
Guardians. And if they don't, that Detroit-Boston series could be a wild card implication to finish the year.
Big weekend. I mean, it's none of these games are easy. They're all nail-biters. And if they had lost yesterday with Crochet on the mound, it would have been the sky is falling.
Oh,
you'd
brutal.
Be even with the Guardians in the loss column today.
And they looked dead for for 6 innings there. They looked in trouble. But the magic number is 7. So if you, by the way, Cleveland doubleheader today. If they lose 2 and you win 1, you could be magic number 4 tomorrow with 7 to play.
If they win 2 and you lose 1, then you're even in the loss column. You're even in the win column. You are dead because they're a game and a half, right, behind the Red Sox right now?
Game and a half back, yep.
So if the Red Sox lose and they sweep, they're even.
They're even. You got the tiebreaker, but, you know, then you've got a road trip to Toronto
right,
facing you.
Canada hates us.
Canada hates us. Tariffs. All kinds of things going on.
It's wild up there. I've never been to Toronto. Looks lovely.
Yeah, fun town. But Toronto's good, and I think they've probably feel comfortable with the lead. I don't think they're going to, like, just not care about those games, right? Toronto's not that far ahead of the Yankees that they would just mail it in and let you win games there. And they've got your number this year, so you better.
Have you ever been to the Sky Dome?
It's huge. I have. We got shut out the year it opened. Was there, 93. Tried to get tickets, but it was sold out. Couldn't get in. Very disappointing for a young kid.
Joe Clark, biggest home run.
Joe Carter.
Biggest home run, Toronto history.
Oh, it's got to be. Not even close.
Against the Wild Thing? Is that Mitch Williams?
That was Mitch Williams. Good memory. Yeah, but I think Toronto's pretty legit. How do you see this playing out? Do you think, in the end, Sox are in?
They're a wild card, yep.
They're a wild card, and they're in. And that's probably enough. Like, all this narrative that's still out there.
This is what happens every time. We give a preempt to a game. Like, if they get here, we'll all be okay. So, let's fast forward a week. The Red Sox clinch a playoff spot on Friday night of next week at home against the Tigers. Then, we're prepping for Tuesday, Seattle, wherever. Right, so Houston, you name it. And they arrive, and they get blown out in 2 games. They can't hit.
I'm fine with that.
I'm not saying I know you're fine. Whatever Sam tells you to
I
feel.
I speak for the public. I don't know if you know that.
You and the Red Sox.
A lot of people are saying that.
Are closer than Greg and Van Leeuwen. the fan watching it will be enraged that they're not winning the game.
I think those flying drones will bring the Van Leeuwen right to Greg's 38th floor penthouse.
Seaport might as well be in a different galaxy. We go, James is down into big ball bowling.
Yeah, good.
So we did it down in Jupiter, and now there's
real bowling then.
Yeah, real bowling. You and him, like, you both love boring things. And so it was great the other day. We're watching the day Sox A's. James and I are bowling, having some chicken tendies and fries at King's.
Nice.
But it doesn't open until 3. So we are walking around the Seaport, and where Greg lives is this, like, courtyard.
Yeah, fantasy land.
Total and complete fantasy land.
Yeah.
I grew up in Dover, okay? I'm not exactly arriving from some, like, crazy blue-collar town. It's unlike anything I've ever seen.
Right.
Every girl is miserable. They have this, like, they look like all they've been forced to eat is salad for the last 15 years.
It comes to life for the Jingle All the Way, though. That's coming back. You and I will be down there for that.
Right. Well, that's, I mean, none of the locals actually leave when we're there. It's like when the caddies get the pool for 15 minutes.
But Van Leeuwen's opened near Fenway. John Henry got himself a Van Leeuwen's just down the street.
Yep. Van Leeuwen right next to James's pediatrician in Chestnut Hill.
Taking over. What's happening to Ben and Jerry?
When you see these, like, being stifled.
I know.
Anyway, the area in the seaport is just, it doesn't feel like Boston at all. It feels like you're in some faraway land full of fake boobs.
How does Fenway feel to you these days?
Real.
Yeah.
Authentic.
But I was worried last night they're going to come back and just get booed mercilessly. If they had, like, lost the series to Tampa, get swept in Toronto, Red Sox back for those final three games, like a couple games out, it could be very ugly. So a lot at stake here. The Red Sox this year have managed to keep narratives juggling. Like, Jones wants to feast on the Alex Cora blew it narrative. So does Wiggy. You kind of do.
But my question is...
But he can't. They keep winning every now and then.
But my question on that is... And I always say this because it's true. I love Lou. Lou's been good to me. He's a good guy. He's the best baseball analyst in Boston.
But
the reaction he had to Jones's tweet, where he's like, you don't even believe this.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, Lou can't even dig in on that yet because they're not winning enough games. They're losing too much for Lou to really feast on that narrative.
But, right. Like, so, of course it would be a narrative if they don't make the playoffs. Right now they have an 88% chance according to the ESPN standings. So, that leaves... more than 1 in 10 chance that they could miss it. And if they do, of course it will be put on the manager.
By some.
What do you think?
By a minority.
What do you think Shaughnessy's calling is Monday morning if they miss the playoffs Sunday against the Tigers?
He likes to rip John Henry in the front office, though. I think he would go with the trade deadline offseason route. But I could be wrong. Maybe he'll blame Cora. Tell us what you think. 617-779-7937. Johnny Cakes in Saugus. Johnny Cakes, how are you?
Good morning, boys.
What's going on?
Getting ready for work.
Work?
I want to say that the Red Sox had me last night when they picked up Crochet. I thought it was really nice. Although the middle relief was awful. My wife screamed, oh, it's 11-7.
Picture. I got to dump that one. Can't, Johnny Cakes, you can't say D. Just say DB. You're douche. What is that audio? Is that your phone? Or is that my phone? Probably my phone. Sorry about that.
Not my phone. Oh, by the way, Ken's taking pictures of me in here. He's like, oh, new iPhone 72.
I got the new iPhone 17 delivered yesterday.
How is it?
I haven't logged into like anything yet, so that's the problem. Things are like firing uncontrollably. Like I have to re-log into all my apps.
Do you have Baseball Reference on your home screen?
Of course. It's just my one app.
Generation Jones.
I feel like that
Do you
sometimes.
Get the clocked it thing? I still don't understand it. They were saying on the show all week. I don't know what it means. Clocked it.
Yeah. It's a young person thing, Curtis.
Yeah.
I'm not young. My body feels... I just got a DM from a guy. I mentioned I had Achilles. He said, stop doing everything. I tore it, and I'm just learning to walk again.
Oh, boy.
Oh, God.
That's like your whole ethos is walking. What are you going to do if you tear the Achilles?
I've been running, and I just missed it yesterday, and I kept trying to run, and it was like...
If you tear your Achilles, I mean...
Bad news?
That is bad news for all of us.
Tennis ball under the heel is good for that. My cousin's one of those physical therapists.
All right. Well, tell him thank you.
Dr. Pizza, I got you.
Let's go to Bob in Londonderry. Hello, Bob.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, guys. Enjoy the show. I was just... wanted to ask Curtis two questions that I've always wanted to ask him.
Oh, dear.
One, if this year doesn't go where we're hoping, will there be any accountability with the manager, so on and so forth? And two, I'd just like to ask Curtis, I know he's a family man. I hear him talk about his young son. Curtis, I was just curious. If your brother had a son, he's 12 years old, he plays sports, and you're Uncle Curtis, and he says to you, Uncle Curtis, can I ask you something? Yeah, what? You, my dad, and the Boy Scouts in school always told me to do everything, you know, the correct way, honest system, the right thing, not cheating. How come the guy that is the manager of the Red Sox cheated and we didn't do anything? I was just curious what
thank you, Bob. They did. They suspended him for a year. And they
gave him a second chance.
Gave him a second chance after Weekend at Renicky. And... I mean, that's what happened.
What a season.
Oh, my God. So, yeah. And the other thing is, Bob, it's an ugly world out there. I always go back to that London game, which is just such a crazy period. We like EEI sent like 300 people to London to cover the international series. And while they were there, you had Beltran as, what was he, hitting coach for the Yankees at the time?
Was he? He might have been Mets manager.
Or Mets manager. And they were talking. No, it was Yankees Red Sox. It wasn't the Mets.
Okay. All right. Yes.
Was it Red Sox Mets or Red Sox Yankees?
I forget.
Either way, they were discussing the stealing signs. Maybe it was the Apple Watch period thing. And it was a public. Everybody was basically in broad daylight discussing that everybody does it. It's all, you know, part of espionage.
Right. It was Yankees Red Sox at London Stadium, 2019.
And so I would find it very hard to believe that the Astros were the only team and the Red Sox were the only teams doing it. I also believe that Cora paid a big price and he came back and immediately paid dividends for the organization. I think they're all well past it. Now there's not even a way to do it because everything's in the headset.
Will you give Cora credit if they surge here?
Absolutely.
Okay. So just to be fair about it.
If they get to the playoffs, and even if they lose in three games and they are, you know.
Competitive.
And you say, oh, man, if they had Roman Anthony, they win the series. I think that's totally, totally a commendable year.
Cora this week on the afternoon show talked up Roman Anthony, came into my office for the first time, said he's feeling good.
Yeah.
Then said he's walking 25 minutes on a treadmill, and that's all he's doing. But that got me, why would the manager say that? If there's not a hope of him coming back, like,
because what's the point of being hopeless?
Yeah, but you don't want to be unrealistic. I mean, he's pretty much. I feel like Cora tells it as it is. I think he's holding out hope. They win a series. He's back in like round two. But I don't know what caliber. But.
I'm just saying, you know, you don't know how long it's going to take to heal until it heals. So why not try and be optimistic so the guys play for it?
And he probably feels like that's our only hope of a real run.
Right.
But couldn't you see that they squeak by a wild card? And then you have Roman coming back, and now things start to snowball the other way.
But you know that the front and center page at the Red Sox and their number one company line is the second the season ends, whenever it is if only we had Roman Anthony.
Yeah, oh, definitely. And that's
it's true.
That's how I feel. Let's go to Alan Everett, headed down to the Parcells induction out.
Absolutely, absolutely. Shout out to Paulie and Dedham. I'll see you down there, Paulie.
All righty.
Any Patriots fans out there listening? A monumentous day today. Any of you 5,000 people who bought season tickets the day he signed, the following day, a record. No team has ever done that over a coach. Show up down there today and support Dwayne Charles Parcells because this is the guy that's the greatest coach in the history of the Patriots, never mind history of all time. The guy who did it with mediocre quarterbacks all those years, that whole roster. You just mentioned it, guys.
Yep.
That whole roster, everyone that's gotten into that Hall of Fame, Patriots Hall of Fame, they were all drafted by him, just about every one of them.
I don't know your answer on this. Obviously, the big criticism is he checked out before, you know, Super Bowl. What's your response to people who put that on Bill?
It's simple. It's simple. You had Max Lane. Max Lane was on the plane. He was there. They knew what was going on. The guy was given total control by James Ortwine, and the Crafts took it away. He had every right to leave that team. That guy eats, sleeps, and drinks one thing, rings. Believe me, they were a 13-point underdog, biggest underdog in Super Bowl history at the time, and he had them in that game when Curtis Martin scored a touchdown.
21-13.
That year, but that Packers team, Ken, team was listed as the top seven best teams of all time. And he almost beat them with Drew Bledsoe if it wasn't for a kick return by Desmond Howard. Yeah, he almost beat them.
That kick return was I hear you, Al. I love what Parcells did. He shouldn't have been kicking to Desmond Howard.
Well, so what do you want? You want to be the first coach in Super Bowl history to squib kick the ball? You want to be the first
I'd
one
rather
to do
a
that?
Squib kick than be embarrassed by Desmond Howard.
It was bad luck. The guy was good. He kicked it deep. What are you going to do? They were missing. Troy Brown was hurt. Whatever. Forget all that. It's not a day for that.
Yep.
It's a day to remember. It's this guy. You should be doing a 3-hour show on this today. You really should. The guy was amazing. And he never got fired. Never get fired, mind you. It's one thing to lose a Tom Brady and not have a great quarterback, but at least you're a good enough coach to win, which he did. He turned every team around with mediocre quarterbacks. Now, give him Brady for 20 years, and he gets a dozen rings. A dozen.
Now, he's obviously a very, very good coach. He won two. Should he have won more than two?
Well, of course he should have won more than two. I mean, Bledsoe threw four interceptions in that game, Chris. You want to mention that?
That was Ken.
It was a Super Bowl record.
Yeah. Okay.
You want to blame him for not getting on a plane?
Well, who drafted Drew Bledsoe first overall, Al?
Listen, he was a general consensus pick, wasn't he?
Al, you can't say that he was saddled with a guy that he used the first pick on.
Well, you had it. What do you say? He was the number one pick in the draft. Everyone said, pick this kid out of college. You don't know. It happens all the time. Well, it happens every year. The first guy does nothing.
He made it work with him.
Hold on. How about this point? Why don't you make this point, Chris? Look what he did with Drew Bledsoe, because Drew Bledsoe turned out to be not the number one pick everyone thought he would have been, but this guy made him, taught him how to win.
But Al, if he was saddled with Bledsoe and he had to overcome him, why did he join him in Dallas?
Because once you lose a great one like that, you realize what a mistake you made. He was the best thing that ever happened to Drew Bledsoe, and Bledsoe didn't know it. He was young and he was stupid at the time.
I enjoy today. Always good to hear from you. Love your sandwiches. But I wasn't asking about Bledsoe. Why would Parcells join up with him again?
Right. Well, we have some counterpoints on Al. I think Pat is one of those. Hello, Pat.
What's going on, guys?
How you doing?
So first off, I'm doing all right. So first off, Al got a bunch of things wrong. They didn't sell out prior to the 93 season. They sold out prior to the 94 season when Kraft bought the team. So that's one down for you, Al. Second thing is, what was Bill Parcells' record? Now, I'm not saying he doesn't belong in the Patriots Hall of Fame, but to call him the greatest coach in Patriots Hall of Fame with a 32-32 record is absolutely absurd. He was great. Him and Drew brought relevance back to the Patriots, or to the Patriots maybe for the first time. And the other thing is, yeah, he drafted great guys like Ted Johnson, Willie McGinnis, who's arguably an NFL Hall of Famer, but he didn't draft all the great players that came through this organization that ended up becoming the Patriots Hall of Fame. Did he draft Julian Edelman, who's going into the Hall of Fame with Parcells this weekend? I don't think so. So, Al, get your facts straight, buddy.
Okay.
That's all I got.
Thank you, Pat.
I do want to correct the record on that, because Edelman, not a Parcells guy. Brady, not a Parcells guy. Vrabel, not a Parcells guy. Wilfork, not a Parcells guy. Seymour, not a Parcells guy. Harrison, not a Parcells guy. Matt Light, not a Parcells guy. So let's see. How many is that? That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of the last 8 people that were enshrined were not Parcells guys.
34-30 with Dallas in 4 years. He turned around franchises. That was his big rep, right? He went to the Jets. He got him into the postseason, just couldn't get him further. Obviously had the 2 wins with the Giants.
Right.
Let's go. Whoa, how about royalty?
Ooh.
Is this really the Jackson guy on the line? Jackson guy, good morning.
Hello, sir. good morning, guys. I just wanted to call and thank you guys. My nephew just over the summer finished his 3-year cancer treatment.
Awesome.
And you guys highlight, you do so much amazing work on the show, and Curtis in particular through the telephone, the way you raise awareness for what the families are going through. I can't thank you guys enough, and I just had a question. Mm-hmm. I have a friend whose daughter was just diagnosed with AML, a rare and aggressive form of blood cancer. And she's doing treatment for the next 6 months in Boston Children's Hospital. I just didn't know if I could plug her fundraiser.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
The Great Gretel Comeback. Just Google it. And there's a GoFundMe set up for her.
Okay.
Just search Gretel. Gretel.
And Jackson guy, I'm sorry that I don't know your first name. But
Josh,
if you could, you can find me on Instagram or Twitter. Just send me a link and I'll put it out on my social media.
Oh, you're the best.
All right.
Thank you guys so much. If the Jackson impression isn't too old, I've laid off it for a while, but I'm happy to make a comeback with a double CD of love songs towards, all directed towards the lovely Kent Laird and the possibility of a pitch for Rays.
Okay. All right, let's do that this week on the Hill Notes,
we'll
Jackson.
Get ready. Thank
Polish
you,
that one up, and let's
all
get back to it.
Oh, that sucks. But good news.
Good and bad news.
Good and bad news. Cancer sucks.
Yes, it does. All right. We'll have KJ Lyons, noon to 3. Bradfo Show, 3 until 6.05. Big baseball game tonight. You and I will put the finishing touches on whatever this
is
show
Tampa's
is.
Is Tampa's new stadium going to be inside, or are they just refurbing the...
Well, next year they're back in the Trop.
They are.
Which is weird. But
the weirdest, worst sporting venue I've ever been to.
I haven't. I've been past it, not in it.
They have this, like, I don't know when I was there. We were there in 2008, 9, somewhere around there. And there's this one bar that's across the street, and it's like they don't have AC. They have like misters. It was just so weird. It was the strangest. It's not near anything.
No, in the middle of.
It's just St. Petersburg.
Yeah, suburban St. Pete.
Anyway.
Well, they're in the city tonight at Steinbrenner Field. See if they get a win with Kyle Harrison.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Ending this one in our fields, Tom. This is like for Al and on his trip down to meet Parcells in person.
I have more than a feeling that the Sox are going to get in the playoffs.
Okay, there we go. Well, Johnny Lyons is here. He's got 3 hours with KJ coming up noon to 3 today. You a Parcells guy? Where are you on the Parcells discussion?
So my thing is the way he left and like talking to the Jets in the playoffs and on your way out, I thought totally inappropriate. And actually, if you go back and read Michael Holley's book, Patriot Reign, I think Bill Belichick is quoted as saying that in that book. But if you take it in totality, like what you and Curtis were talking about, this re-energized the franchise, legitimatized the franchise, those draft classes, getting to the Super Bowl. So I think he's deserving on the whole. I do. And I know you guys had a caller earlier that was like, oh, he was 36-36 in the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
I get it, right? He lost a playoff game to Cleveland, then won a couple playoff games a couple years later. But I think when you look at where they were, 91, 92, 93, and then where they were when he left, and some of the foundational pieces he put in place for the dynasty, I do think he's deserving. You can still criticize how he left, but I think he's deserving to get in the Patriots Hall of Fame.
And without him, who knows if Belichick's ever hired.
Yeah.
Stepping stone coach.
Yeah. Belichick was the defensive backs coach on that 96 team.
Right.
That first got him in touch with Kraft.
He went on the Gerard Mayo steps up to the owner talking to him that year.
Now, yeah. John, I'm sure you'll get into tomorrow's game today. However, early thoughts on the Steelers matchup. Are you with Wiggy? The Patriots secondary decides the entire game.
Yeah, and you wonder if Christian Gonzalez is going to play. Even if he plays 15, 20 snaps in this game and you can put him on Metcalf in certain instances, I think that would be huge here. I think the running game is going to be important. Can Drake May play as well as he did the other day? Also, Patriots offensive line, because T.J. Watt has not been the T.J. Watt we're used to these first couple weeks. Highsmith left last week's game with an injury as well. So Patriots offensive line has an opportunity, I think, to make some hay here and build off a pretty good performance last week. And I know this offensive line we've been talking about for like 4 years being terrible. They finally had a pretty good game last week. Can they build off it going forward? So there's a lot to like for the Patriots in this matchup, but I do, you know, I worry about, they beat Miami, yes, but it felt like they kind of escaped Miami with a win. Like, they did a lot of good things. The resiliency was there. The perseverance was there. They made the key plays. But are you going to beat Pittsburgh if you commit 12 penalties again and you have some of those mistakes that you had against Miami?
Then again, Miami looked better against Buffalo, I guess, Thursday night game. But
that, I don't know whether it's their record, why they get such crap officiating, because maybe it is weighted for bigger games. I don't know if it is in the regular season, but that crew last week was so bad. Mike Vrabel with us made one point. He's like, you know, people want to get on Will Campbell, and I will. He's like, but he literally was pointing out the mic, and they called him on a false start. Like, it, that every play, and I guess it's working. I mean, the ratings are up after another record season. 40 million people watched that Chiefs.
Crazy.
I was one of them.
Chiefs-Eagles game, which is insane. That, like, it is amazing how...
I don't think 40 million people watch anything except that.
This is the last communal thing we have as a society. Yep. It's football. Everything else, that's why I wax poetic about the Super Bowl. It's like the last thing people sit and watch, mostly absent politics, just to enjoy a game. And I think the Patriots win tomorrow. I have no idea how or why.
No, I agree.
I think it's going to be
about this one.
Getting to 2-1. I could actually see them then lose somehow to the Panthers.
Oh, see that.
But no.
I think, though, big picture, if you can be 2-2 heading into that Buffalo game, and then you have the Titans, you know, the Saints, the Browns after, like,
the Bengals without Burrow.
Yeah, you can get to the end of October with a winning record. Like, even if you exit September 2-2, you can have a winning record at the end of October. And then that's how, before the year, you have people talking 8-9,
right,
maybe 10 win. Like, that's the path, right? Can you get to October with a winning at the end of October with a winning record?
Today, this is my question the other day with Greg, would you take, everything's the same from now until whenever, Burrow or Drake May?
Yeah, I'd take Joe Burrow. He's a badass.
I'd want to
see
the medical info. What's the, do you have the medicals?
Super Bowl.
Burrow's awesome. I
like Drake May a lot too, to be clear.
At what point do you say you're just never going to be healthy?
Yeah, and I think, though, if you take Burrow, like when I take Burrow, am I putting him around a better coaching staff, a better offensive? Like if I'm putting him with Mike Vrabel and Josh McDaniels going forward, yeah, I would take Burrow. Like, just same thing. If I put Drake May in Cincinnati, he'll be good. Got Jamar Chase, got T. Higgins. But, I mean, how many years have they been trying to fix that offensive line? Like, I mean, Burrow got sacked 8 times in the Super Bowl, and they're still trying to fix it. And that was 4 years ago.
Yeah, I think you guys are right.
All right, KJ Lyons on the way next. Curtis, good job. Tom, good job.
All right, off to pick apples.
Okay. Wow, jeez. Doing
Look
it all.
You.
Big day.
Fall. It's not even fall yet. Pace yourself.
Isn't tomorrow
cider donut
technically
today?
Right? First
I'm definitely. James loves a cider donut.
Okay.
The cake pops are the scourge of our life. I can't go in any freaking place and they have cake pops. They're awful.
I don't like the candy apples.
Oh, yeah. No
out
candy
on
apples. But it is amazing. You become, I feel like the best agents are new parents because you're constantly negotiating. Everything's, maybe it's because he's my son.
Yeah.
Always, maybe always got a question.
You could become a super agent.
Good, or a violinist.
Okay. All right.
Both work.
Right. Yeah, KJ Lyons on the way next. See you.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.